There are really two kinds of lenses that we need to worry about, just like there were two kinds of mirrors. Well, the first kind is the converging or convex lens. Important point, it's thicker in the middle than it is around the perimeter. Then there's the diverging or concave lens. It's thicker at the edges or the perimeter than it is in the middle. Okay, if you wear glasses and you need those glasses to see the board or to drive with, those are diverging lenses. They're thinner in the middle than they are at the edges. If, on the other hand, you need glasses to read with, those are converging lenses. They're thicker at the middle than they are at the edges. Okay. So those are the two kinds of lenses that we really get used to. Another way to see it, we have this nice slide on the different types of lenses. And if you look, there's three converging lenses and there's three diverging lenses. The rightmost lens in each set is pretty much what the shape is for eyeglasses. So for a converging lens, the rightmost of the converging lenses, it's curved on both surfaces, but it's still thicker in the middle than it is on the edges. That's typically what people who are older have. People who read a lot, probably early on, they typically end up maybe being a little nearsighted, or so it seems anyway. And so they're typically going to have lenses like the rightmost lens, where it's clearly thinner in the middle than at the edges, and both surfaces are sort of curved. And they're still classed as convex or concave lenses, even though when you think about it, depending on where you are in the surface, you might think it's, which surface you're talking about, you might think it's either a concave or a convex surface. But, you know, that's actually why I prefer converging and diverging lens to talking about the actual shape of the surface, because the real effect of the lens is the combination of surfaces, not one surface in particular. All right, so let's look at sort of a simple ray diagrams for each of these two kinds of lenses. So for a converging lens, if you've got parallel light coming in, it's all going to get focused to a point. So that's typically what you have with a magnifying glass. So when you take a magnifying glass out, most of us as kids had a magnifying glass and we got light and we tried to focus it down to a point, you were playing with a converging lens. If you try to do that with a diverging lens, the light simply gets refracted and it goes away and appears to be coming from a point, well, near the lens, but it never passed through there, so you can't really focus the light down. Each type of lens has its own value, and I want to look at ray diagrams, and I found a link that lets you sort of call up a ray diagram and make it sort of interactive so you can move the object back and forth and see what happens to the image. I'm going to talk you through the fixed ray diagrams on the in the slides, but I'm going to give you the link so that you can go to the interactive little internet application and play with a little bit so you're more comfortable with it. Again, I don't expect you to be able to do ray diagrams, but you should fundamentally know what a converging lens does and what a diverging lens does and how they're used by most people. So, if we look at a typical converging lens, if you think of the object being very far away, meaning farther from the focal point, that is farther from the lens than the focal point, you'll find an image formed on the far side of the lens. Because the light actually goes there, it's a real image, and it's typically going to be upside down. Okay. Exactly where the object is with respect to the focal point, you know, how far away it is, really depends, or depends on whether the image is going to be larger or smaller. For us, that's not so important in this configuration. What is important is the ray diagram that starts out with the object between the focal point and the lens. In this case, if you do the ray diagram, you find out that the light goes through the lens and then looks like it's coming from an image that's farther away from the lens than the object was. In other words, it makes it look like the object you want to see is further away and larger than it was. Well, that's exactly what people who are farsighted, meaning they can't see things close up, but things that are, you know, 100 feet away are perfectly clear. That's what those people need. They need to take things that are close to them and actually move them further away. So that's why a converging lens is used for people who are farsighted. We can do the same thing for a diverging lens, and if you normally think about it, okay, and you have an object that's farther from the focal point than the lens, you do the ray diagram, and you end up showing that the image forms between the focal point and the lens. Now, this is also a virtual image because the light, remember, never, well, one ray of light passed through where the image is, but the other ray of light didn't. Okay, so it's still considered a virtual image, but it's erect. Okay, so what has this lens done? It's taken things that are too far away for a nearsighted person to focus on and brought it in to a distance that's fairly close. Now, when you first get glasses, if you're nearsighted, and I don't know, for those of you who are nearsighted, if you remember it, things were really distorted. It took a while for your brain to get used to that. That's a little bit what it's like when you start looking in water. So imagine, for those of you who don't have glasses, you suddenly had to look, and you put the glasses on, it's like everything is in water. Everything is all distorted. Sooner or later, your brain will adjust, and you'll get your depth perception back and everything. It just takes a little time. But it really can be disoriented early on. Now, again, I'm not going to actually have you do ray diagrams. I think it's better. It's somewhat learning things as a memorization, but basically you know what the point of a converging and diverging lens is, how they're used, and where you want the object, in the case of a farsighted person and a converging lens, and where that puts the image. And similarly for a nearsighted person, where the object would be and where you want the image. By the way, if you think about that nearsighted person wearing glasses, someone like me, because I'm nearsighted, my eyes are best for focusing on things that are about, 25 to 35, 40 centimeters away from me. So that means everything further away when I put on glasses has to be compressed into that range. If it appears to be any closer, I still can't focus on it because it's too close. If it's outside that range further away, I can't focus on it because it's too far away. So that means everything I've got is compressed in that really narrow range. Okay, so your brain is amazing at being able to process all those images and things that might have been hundreds of feet apart in real life can be compressed into a few centimeters, and your brain can still interpret everything correctly. Okay. Let's talk about the human eye for a minute. Okay. The human eye is a simple convex lens. Even a camera lens is a simple convex lens, the simplest of them, that is, not the more complicated ones in the really nice cameras. And the lens is purely designed to take light that's much further away than the focal point of the lens and image it on the back of your eyeball, which is basically the retina. As long as sizes work out okay, that's fine. And in fact, you've got some muscles, okay, ciliary muscles that can adjust the shape and focal length of the lens so that whatever you're looking at, it can pretty much create an image on your retina. Excuse me. But if you're nearsighted or farsighted, well, that doesn't work. So in nearsightedness, if you don't correct, you end up with the image being formed before you get to the back of the eye. Okay, so what happens, you put the glasses on, and it actually makes the object appear closer to you, but then your eye can't focus on it quite as well, and so it ends up putting the image through your eye lens on the back of the retina where it belongs. Okay. Farsightedness, it's simply a reverse of that. Okay. Now, that brings us to the topic of the near point. Okay, that's the position closest to the eye that you can actually focus. So if you were to hold up a book and try to read, how close can you bring the book and read? Okay. Now, normally for someone fairly young, that's apparently 12 to 15 centimeters. I always thought it was a little further away, but for me, I can do about 30 centimeters now if I work at it. When I was in college and had sort of just gotten my glasses, I could focus on things, 10 centimeters away, no problem. On the other hand, if it was 3 feet away, yeah, it was going to be a little bit blurry. Okay. Now, as you age, that near point moves further and further away. So if you can find someone older, you can ask them to do the same thing, hold their hand out and ask how close it can be that they can still focus on it, and you'll find out it's probably much further away than what yours is, okay? Especially if you are nearsighted. Now, as you age, it moves further out. So what happens to someone who's nearsighted when they're young, like I was, and then they start aging, or age takes its toll, and that near point moves out? Well, it does move out. And the nice thing is, instead of being able to focus on things that are just really close to me, I can now focus on things that are sort of a medium distance away from me. So I can read a computer screen okay at a couple of feet, depending on the size of the text, that when I was 30, I couldn't do that. Now I can. So what happens is, a nearsighted person is more likely to get along in life without needing reading glasses. In fact, I don't wear glasses now to read. I did when I was 30. When I was 30, if I tried reading without glasses, that was going to last just a few minutes and my eyes were going to hurt or they were going to be strained. Now, I can read hours without glasses on. But if I want to drive, I really need glasses because everybody else on the road would appreciate it. So that gives you some idea of the near point. It moves out with age. You know, the only way you're really gonna click is if you talk to your parents or something and have them try that and see how close they can focus and compare that to yourself, and you'll get a pretty good idea. Okay. So when we come back, we'll talk about electromagnetic radiation. I also plan on giving you a link to the ray diagram interactive application so you can play with that a little bit. Thanks.